From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Today is Wednesday, April 8th, coming up how town governments in Vermont are trying to keep services going during the coronavirus pandemic, and how one country store is keeping its doors open with some community support.
The only reason that we have toilet paper is because of a wonderful neighbor that owned the cabins up the way, and they had an extra box, and they sold us the box so that we could have it for the community. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on here.
But first, here are today's headlines.
According to the health department, 575 people have now tested positive for COVID-19 in Vermont. 23 people have died after contracting the disease.
To put those numbers in some context, 29 people with COVID-19 are now hospitalized, and over 7,000 tests have been carried out.
And Governor Phil Scott has asked FEMA to declare a federal disaster in Vermont due to the pandemic. If it's approved, the federal government would cover 75% of what it's cost the state to respond to the emergency.
Governor Scott says the state has already spent over $20 million, but the final bill will be much, much higher.
And three staff members at the prison in Swanton have now tested positive for COVID-19. Two of them were in contact with inmates not long before developing symptoms. The Swanton facility is now on full lockdown, according to facility's executive, Alan Cormier.
We are implementing plans now to get inmates out in small groups to the rec yard, to get inmates out in small groups to the day room, you know, limiting that number of inmates to 10 at a time.
According to the Department of Corrections, all staff and inmates in Swanton have been provided with face masks. So far, four DOC staffers have tested positive for COVID-19. No inmates have tested positive, but one is in isolation, awaiting test results as of this recording.
Elsewhere in the criminal justice system, the Vermont Supreme Court has suspended jury trials through May 15th. And those planning to take the bar exam in July will have to wait. The court has suspended that until a later date.
Before we move on, we have a quick correction to make. On yesterday's episode, we said the Vermont Senate would be returning to Montpelier on Tuesday to take up a bill that would allow lawmakers to vote remotely. That's actually happening today, Wednesday, April 8th. Tune into VPR to hear how that turns out.
And Governor Scott seems to be everywhere these days, making historic decisions and holding three press conferences a week about the state government's response to the pandemic. But not a lot of attention has been paid to how town governments are handling the crisis.
Next, we have two reports from across the state about what's going on at the municipal level. Town governments are trying to figure out how to keep vital services running, even as the crisis worsens. We'll start with reporter Howard Weiss-Tisman.
All right, so let's see. We've called this to order at 6 o'clock. We'll try and keep this as quick as possible. We had some, obviously everything has changed drastically since we met, a week and a half ago.
That's Vernon Select Board Chairman Chris Parker, kicking off an emergency meeting the board held on the online platform Zoom. The board needed to make decisions about who should be paid and who shouldn't while part of town government is shut down. Parker said for now he wanted to keep everyone on the payroll because there will be an end to all of this.
When this is all over, I would like to think that all of those departments are in a place to just pick up business as usual, welcome our residents back in, and I would like the rec to be up to speed and clean, and I would like the highway to be up operational, and I would like the library to be ready to just open those doors as soon as the governor says we can.
The Vernon board also talked about the limitations of its phone system and the internet capabilities of some of its workers who are now at home. And they came up with a very Vermont solution to what might happen if a Vernon resident needs to self-quarantine.
Todd had also suggested the possibility of towing his camper down behind the fire department and plugging that in there, and they could self-quarantine inside of the camper.
So that's what it's come to in Vernon. Planning to set up a camper to address the public health needs and making sure the town pool is ready for summer. Towns across Vermont are operating in this strange new world where everyday jobs like road grading in Brattleboro continues while so much of the future is uncertain. Because as far as Brattleboro Public Works Director Steve Barrett can tell, the new coronavirus has not affected mud season in Vermont.
Well, here we're on Orchard Street. There's residents on these roads, so we need to maintain those, the roads, and also for public safety, fire trucks and emergency services need to respond up to these areas.
Barrett says while his department has made adjustments for social distancing and his administrative staff is now working from home, for the most part, it's business as usual for the road crew and wastewater plant operators.
My demands haven't decreased at all, and in the department either. And so what we're doing is we're kind of reallocating our services and focusing on the real needs, the water, the sewer, the roadways, to make sure that those are all safe.
Brattleboro Town Manager Peter Elwell says the crisis is not like a regular disaster, where a few sections of town are flooded or a major fire has wiped out one downtown block. Every single resident and business in town is affected, some severely. And so Elwell is doing things like deciding to proceed with leaf pickup this week while making plans for how Brattleboro will handle a surge if the new coronavirus hits the town hard.
The need is not just throughout our community, but throughout all of our society. And so it's not anything like normal business, and it's also not like a normal emergency. And we are finding ways as best we can to provide as much of ongoing town sort of administrative work as is possible under these circumstances.
It's something every town in the state is grappling with.
Like Brandon, where local businesses are still shaking off the slowdown caused by the recently completed Route 7 makeover. Today, Brandon's downtown looks stunning, but shops and restaurants are closed, and multiple signs taped to the town office remind locals that only essential municipal workers can go inside.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
It's why town manager Dave Atherton meets me around back.
I didn't know you guys had a back porch.
Yeah. It used to be the police station entrance when this was the PD.
So this gives us a chance to talk and maintain a safe distance?
Sure.
Atherton says Brandon is running with a skeleton crew, and many are working from home. The town's two wastewater treatment employees have to be on site, however, so Atherton says they're working separate shifts. The guys in the highway department, they're still fixing roads, but they've been assigned their own trucks. And Atherton says other municipal staff are taking turns in the town office.
We still have to keep the lights on in the town of Brandon and still be responsive to residents. We're trying to do it sort of, you know, as a joint effort, and one person will be here one day and another person will be here the next day. But that's the big thing. We've still got to run the town.
Which for several groups, including the local select board, has meant video conferencing.
It went better than expected for our trial run, so.
While we're talking, Doug Bailey walks up and patiently waits a safe distance away.
Doug Bailey's one of our selectmen. He's waiting to sign this thing. This is how we do business now. When we do the meetings, and obviously we don't have five board members there to sign orders or anything, so we have to leave it out here for them to sign the papers. So this is our office right now.
Bailey reaches for a nearby clipboard to add his signature.
So this is town business that I'm about to witness.
You are watching official town business right now.
I'm here now to do this, but I also stopped in to put a check in the tax box out front to license my two dogs.
Dog licenses are due April 1st. Bailey says he emailed the town clerk and she'd mail the dog tags.
It shows that every little thing needs to get done. We need to continue to pay the town's bills. We need to look at construction processes. We need to pay our employees, and we need to license our dogs. So everything continues on one way or another.
The fact that towns are managing all this is pretty amazing considering, but when COVID-19 has run its course, things won't necessarily get a whole lot easier. With many businesses closed and tourism on hold, town officials statewide are bracing for a drop in tax revenues and more requests from local taxpayers for abatement or deferrals. What towns will do to pay education costs if property tax collections fall short remains unclear. It's an issue the Vermont League of Cities and Towns is pushing Vermont lawmakers to address by providing added assistance to every city and town in the state from federal relief funds. For VPR News, I'm Nina Keck in Brandon.
Now, if you go about 20 minutes north of Brandon on Route 7, you'll find yourself in the small town of Ripton in Addison County. Like a lot of towns in Vermont, there's a general store.
But now many general stores that typically welcome people in to buy essentials and serve as a community hub have moved to curbside pickup.
That's not the case at the Ripton Country Store, in part because the store is also the town's post office. So customers are still going in to get mail, food, gas. Owners Eva Hoffman and Gary Wizzle are taking precautions against the coronavirus. Just this week, they began requiring anyone coming in to wear a face mask.
When the Ripton store went up for sale a few years back, it made some national headlines. Vermonter Bill McKibben wrote about it in the New York Times. Eva and Gary bought the store just about a year and a half ago, and they moved up from Virginia to run it. Now the couple is grappling with an entirely new reality within their new life as country store owners. I spoke with Eva Hoffman earlier this week and started by asking how she's holding up.
I've been better. The last 2 days, I think, my stress level is pretty high. I had some surgery in January, so I'm on the list of people that need to be cautious.
You are still keeping the store open.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so what does that look like?
Everybody is taking it very seriously now. The community here rallies around everybody, so they've been fantastic. They provide that. We have people coming in and donating gloves, making masks. We have a nice plexiglass, brand new plexiglass barrier at the cash register. So we still have people in and out because we have the post office here. So that's a big deal. People come in to get their mail. Nobody wants to go into Middlebury if they don't have to shop. So Staples are, you know, we have an empty dairy case on a regular basis. We do sell gas. So the traffic has lightened up. But some people that would normally didn't buy things here at the store are coming in because they don't want to go anywhere else.
Do you feel safe, and do your customers feel safe when they come in?
I think some people are still on the spectrum of thinking and nothing can happen to them. I think what concerns my husband and I most are folks that we don't know. We've had people come in and just say, oh, so surprised that you're open. Well, we're open because there are people in the community that need Staples, and they need their mail, and they need gas. But we're not here for, you know, people to stop off and visit and be a tourist site. And that has happened since all of this started. Those are the folks that make us uncomfortable. Not that we don't appreciate their support. We appreciate their support, but, you know, we've got a stay-at-home order.
Yeah.
And we can't stay home, so.
Right. Has it changed your business model at all in terms of how you're providing food and necessities and gas to your customers?
Well, some of the changes that have taken place are just that have either been thrust upon us. For instance, eggs cost us a lot more than they did, so we've had to pass that increase on to our customers. We're having to really rethink how we're going to bring product into the store. We have a lot of traffic, I guess, in regard to keeping the store stocked. When we do order, we order more of things. For the past, probably the last month, we're just like everybody else, can't get any paper supplies, as in tissues, Kleenex. We can't get any cleaning supplies. The only reason that we have toilet paper is because of a wonderful neighbor that owned the cabins up the way, and they had an extra box, and they sold us a box so that we could have it for the community. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that goes on here.
It's unclear right now how long some of these restrictions will last. Does this setup feel sustainable for you and your husband and your business right now?
Well, the big important piece here is that we have to stay healthy because it's only Gary and I. That's it. So if something happens to one of us, there's no store. So it's really critical that everybody, you know, do the right thing and not let their guard down. And we're working really hard to stay healthy, I guess.
On a slightly lighter note, I'm just curious, Eva, you know, you mentioned some of the things that are hard to keep in stock, toilet paper, dairy items. Is there anything in the store that just isn't going off the shelf that, you know, has sort of been stuck around for a long time?
Around?
Yeah.
Gary was just sitting around. I guess that, you know what's, nah, that's not really true. You know, we have a big thing with penny candy and lots of candy, you know, old-fashioned general store thing going on. I guess that's gone down. We don't sell as much candy as we did. Oh, and certainly just our little, you know, things that we have that people that would be coming and traveling, say going to Breadloaf or being part of tourist trade here. We're not selling any of this, those kind of things. Sweatshirts, cups, mugs, stuff like that.
Well, Eva, anything else that we didn't get to that you'd want to add?
I just want to truly applaud, as I said, this community here and what they've, you know, they've embraced us. They're helping to take care of us. And Gary and I are happy to be here. We're just praying that we get through this and that the community does too, and the state and everybody else.
Eva Hoffman owns the Ripton Country Store along with her husband. They're still open for business, but with reduced hours.
And the Eye on the Sky forecast for today, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain showers and snow showers possible in the mountains. Highs in the upper 40s to mid 50s.
Thanks so much for listening to The Frequency. This episode featured reporting and production from Nina Keck, Howard Weiss-Tisman, Emily Corwin, Mark Davis, Amy Kolb-Noyes, and Karen Anderson.
Our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. We have digital support from Elodie Reed and Noah Villamarine Cutter. And our executive producer is Mark Davis. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow. Yeah, right. It just says suddenly everyone's like, everyone watches, like, has an opinion about some guy named Joe Exotic. And I don't know, like, I know that name, and I've never seen a moment of it other than the thing that auto plays when you start Netflix.